Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday. It is great to have you in. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be watching or listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. I have got so many things to talk about today. So I live now by myself for 3 weeks. All I do is sit around and come up with conspiracy theories and watch sports. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy looks ravishing. How are you, Joy?
Thank you. Thank you. As long as you're not, you know, getting your tinfoil hat out. You're not a big conspiracy. You are a big theory person, but not with so much the conspiracy.
I keep the con out of my theories. I'll be on Joy's podcast later today, by the way.
Yes, yeah. Go subscribe because you're not going to want to miss it.
Right now. So let me start. I want to talk about ego. I, of course, do not have one, but let's discuss it. Story today, Mike Silver, NFL reporter guy. NFL Network reports 1/3 of the NFL has called the Seattle Seahawks about Russell Wilson. The starting point is 3 first-round picks. This, of course, would not happen unless teams felt Russell Wilson is available. This is now the 4th story in 3 weeks leaking about Russell Wilson being unhappy. Isn't the rule in the NFL, when your quarterback is great and in his prime, just make him happy? New England forgot about that. Now they stink and Brady's winning Super Bowls. It's funny. We celebrate ego in every other sport. Think about this. In the NBA, Russell Westbrook, my best friend's the ball. It kind of makes him quirky and likable. I mean, Kevin Durant burned her account Twitter. Kind of makes him more interesting. In the NBA, Michael Jordan's documentary, he mocked people. And we're like, God, I love Michael. I love him more now than ever. We're okay with NBA stars having an ego. International soccer stars. Ronaldo, Messi, they got tax evasion problems. They got personality issues. They bounce from European team. It's kind of part of their appeal. They're superstars. In baseball, home run hitters. I grew up with Reggie Jackson, Sammy Sosa, Manny Ramirez. It's okay to be quirky. It makes them more appealing. Makes them bigger stars. UFC or boxing. Like Conor McGregor. Well, of course he has to build his ego up. Of course boxers have to be a little out there. But if an NFL quarterback shows just a little ego or a little want with personnel or play calling, whoa. Now I want you to think about this. Aaron Rodgers makes $35 million a year. He's good looking. He dates celebrities. I think he owns like a hedge fund. He's the biggest star in his state. Aaron doesn't get a little ego? We got to draft Jordan Love to make sure Aaron Rodgers fits into our little box. Russell Wilson, have you seen his wife? She's the best looking human on the planet. He makes $35 million. Biggest star in Seattle. He can't get a say in play calling? He can't have a little say in who you hire as your offensive coordinator? Why do we celebrate egos everywhere else, which I'm okay with? A guy's great in his prime. Let him have an ego. Let her have an ego. But if a quarterback doesn't fit into a box and you can't control, I used to work at a company like this. ESPN was just paralyzed by anybody having an ego. You know what happened? All those guys and gals with egos left, and it's not the same company. How about just when people are great in their prime, they may be different. Howard Stern's a little different. He sees the world differently. Aaron Rodgers is a little different. It's okay. Soccer stars, UFC stars, home run hitters, NBA stars. We embrace it. We celebrate it. They're quirky. They're out there. But God, the Green Bay Packers can't totally control Aaron Rodgers. And Russell Wilson wants to have a say in the play calling and the schematics and the play design. And you understand Russell Wilson's not happy, right? Stories get out when somebody wants him out. It is amazing to me that this story is leaking because Seattle's ego is with the coach. These coaches and GMs, stop trying to control and manage and box in superstars. Listen, once they get old, get rid of them. But I want my quarterback when he goes into battle. I want my UFC fighter. I want my home run hitter. I want my NBA star to be a little delusional. A little delusional. I remember one time talking to somebody who was friends with Derek Jeter. And one night I was in Tampa, this was years and years ago, and Derek Jeter walked into a steakhouse with about six guys. And I told my friend about this, and he had covered Jeter for years in Tampa in spring training where the Yankees hosted. And he said, Jeter's whole theory is he doesn't want anybody giving him negative thoughts during the season because it's such a thinking sport. And he hangs around guys that make him feel good about himself, and they're kind of yes men. And they're really positive. He doesn't want cynical friends. He doesn't want critical friends. He wants a good vibe during the season because baseball is such a mental sport. And I'm like, I'm down with that. I get it. I don't want Derek Jeter doing, you know, oh my God, can I hit the hurt? Oh my God, yesterday I went 0-for-4. I want Derek Jeter confident at the plate with two runners on, seventh inning tie game against the Red Sox at Fenway. NFL GMs, coaches, owners. Bruce Arians embraced Brady. He let Brady have a say. He let Brady dial up a play. He took some of Brady's leadership and said, yeah, I'm going to let go of myself a little and give Tom more of the offense. Result, Super Bowl. God, Seattle, lighten up. You're never going to get anybody as good as Russell. Like, that's it, right? Best player, franchise history. And they've had good players. He's the best ever. Take care of him. Make him happy. Suppress your ego. Let him have one. All right, LeBron James, I love this. I love when people do, what do they call it on Twitter, Joy, when you it's like covert shots at people. It's like you take a little shot at somebody, but it's not really a shot. But it really
subtweet?
Subtweet. Love it.
When people are scared to tag you?
Yeah, like yeah. It's subtweet. LeBron subtweeted, but it was verbal yesterday. He was talking about his workload. Anthony Davis is hurt. Dennis Schroeder's out. And LeBron now leads the NBA. I'm not joking here. He leads the NBA in minutes in February. He's 80 years old. He leads the NBA in minutes. So he was talking about the workload, blah, blah, blah. Here we go.
This whole narrative of, LeBron needs more rest, or I should take more rest, or I should take time here, has become a lot bigger than what it actually really is. I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. We all need more.
I love
it. A fast turnaround from last season, and we all wish we could have more rest. But, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates.
That was a shot at Kawhi. It was a shot at Kyrie. It was a shot at Embiid. It was a subtweet. It was a shot at load management guys. It was a shot at minute restriction Paul George, who gets 6 months off, but he can only play this many minutes. It was a shot at all of them. We spent all this time talking about the differences with LeBron and MJ. Here's where they're totally similar. They both play sick. They play tired. They play hurt. They play cranky. They play when they got a cold. They play when they're sore. Kevin Durant's played 19 of 32 games. Kevin Durant, because his hamstrings are sore. So are LeBron's. It's called the NBA season being 38. You know how many games Damian Lillard, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Steph Curry have missed? Veterans who are sore getting that. They're on ibuprofen the minute they wake up. They've missed three combined. Michael Jordan literally demanded to play with a broken toe, second year in the league. So he broke his toe, and the organization freaked out because medical people said if he re-breaks it, it will never be the same. He had a broken toe. I can't go to work if I have an ice cream headache. He had a broken toe. Jordan demanded to play. Screamed at his coaches. It was against Atlanta. He screamed at his general manager with a broken toe. LeBron James leads the NBA in minutes at 38. I don't care what happened last night. They don't have AD. They don't have Dennis Schroeder. LeBron's in a shooting slump. Yeah, maybe he's tired. I mean, give me a break. This whole thing, I love that LeBron said that last night. It's very relatable. Hey, man, I'm punching the clock. That's what they do in Akron, Ohio. Not a lot of coastal jobs there. In Akron, Ohio, you punch the clock. You go to work. Doesn't matter if you're tired. Doesn't matter if you're hungover. It doesn't matter if you're sick. You go to work in Akron, Ohio. Sore hamstrings. You break. Give me a break. And like Anthony Davis, he's a terrific player. Man, you got to learn to play hurt. You got to learn. Patrick Mahomes played on one foot. And if he didn't get choked out, he was yelling at the coaches to get back in the game. He literally passed out on the field. He was playing on a foot. And he was screaming at Andy Reid, let me back in. They're like, no, dude, we're going to protect you from you. That's my kind of player. I don't feel great today. I woke up at 11:30 last night, never went back to bed. Where am I today? Entertaining America. Entertaining America is where I'm at with about 9 Red Bulls lined up. All right, coming up next, there are people that I will, way past their usefulness, I will let stay in the building because I think they're culture setters. And then there's people that are even more talented, but the minute they're past their prime, I want them out of the building. And you should hear what's happening with the Steelers. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Got 30 free minutes? Don't worry about a break-in ever again at your home. Set up a security system. SimplySafeColin.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. Good to have you in today. So, the Pittsburgh Steelers are essentially playing chicken. They keep dissing Big Ben, and they're daring him to say something back. So if the Steelers keep Big Ben this year, he's a $41 million cap hit. He's worth less than half of that, in my opinion. If they release him, it's $22 million cap hit, dead money cap hit, to which I would say, so what? For 1 year, go get Sam Darnold. You're not paying Sam Darnold anything. The key is, what are you paying the position? If you bring in Sam Darnold with the dead money from Ben, it's $30 million. That's under market value, right? So the thing about Big Ben, and it's really heightened because of Tom Brady's greatness in tape study. There's a story that came out that Brady basically, the night before the Super Bowl, is sending all his receivers, tight ends, and backs tape at midnight. And he has been known. We saw Tom versus Time. Tom is a tape addict. And there's a handful of guys in the league. I think Tom's more addicted than most, but he's an addict. The not-so-secret secret in Pittsburgh is Ben doesn't like tape study. He doesn't really tape study. That's why the Steelers have the most remedial, simplest pre-snap audibles in the game. It's like high school football. And so Pittsburgh has a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback coach. And both of them want to make the offense more sophisticated. More multiple sets, more motions. And Ben really isn't into that smart football thing. And so Ben, like Brett Favre at the end of his career, like, this is who I am. Love me or hate me, this is who I am. And that was adorable in the 80s and 90s, but it's 2021. And you just can't get away with being old, slow, inaccurate, and not studying tape. There are guys who are just talented. Favre and Big Ben. But the minute they're out of their prime, their usefulness in the locker room drops significantly. And then there are guys you'll just keep around forever. Udonis Haslam still plays for the Miami Heat. He's a culture setter. Drew Brees, workaholic grinder, culture setter. He was past his prime 4 years ago. Larry Fitzgerald, you just keep him in the room. He's an example. He's a mentor. He's smart. He offers wisdom. He's a grinder. And then there are other athletes. The majority of them, once they're out of the prime, get them out of the building. They're not guys. They're just talented. Favre had a lot of this. Ben's got a lot of this. So what the Steelers are basically doing now is they're playing chicken with him. They're leaking all these stories. They let it be known. We're ready to move. And I think it's the smart move. You cannot afford to pay Big Ben $41 million. Absolutely cannot afford to pay him $41 million. You can afford $22 million of dead cap money if you go get a Sam Darnold for a year. And by the way, this should not be undersold. The idea that Pittsburgh will go off the rails without Big Ben. Big Ben has missed 41 games with the Steelers. You know what their record is? 23-18. A couple years ago, they went 3-3 with something called Duck Hodges and 5-3 with Mason Rudolph. Well, you think they can't move the football? They can't play without Big Ben? They're playing chicken with him, and I'm here for it. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Let's talk about Dak Prescott's contract, shall
we? Oh, let's please. I love that story. It never gets old.
Well, and it never ends. The window to begin applying the franchise or transition tag to NFL players opens today.
Yes, for March 9th. You got about a week, right?
Yes. So last year, the Cowboys failed to sign Dak Prescott to a multi-year contract. They're reportedly optimistic that they'll have a different outcome this time around. They are looking to work out a long-term deal before the March 9th deadline to apply the tag. However, another report says that the two sides have talked, but nothing meaningful has come from it. There's a certain things I need to find out in sports. Like, I need to find out all of the inner workings of the Patriots dynasty.
Oh, it's fun.
And, like, how all that unfolded.
I love it.
This contract, like, I don't know if we'll ever actually get the real story for what's going on here, but it just feels like we've been talking about this for so long, and I don't get it. Dak doesn't want a long deal. He wants a 4-year deal. The Cowboys want a 5-year deal because of the money. What are you doing? Like, you don't talk about playing chicken. They're going to pay Dak $37.7 million on the tag this year, and then he's going to hit the open market next year? You know what Dak's going to do on the open market? Whatever he wants. Dak is a winner. Other than this injury, he's always available. What are they without him? They went 4-7 without him last year. Like, you're talking about Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Steelers were kind of still okay. Now, I don't think Mason Rudolph is the answer, and certainly Duck Hodges isn't, but what are the Cowboys going to do? Like, what is your plan?
Well, it's interesting because you can franchise one guy, and if you pay him $37 million, you're kind of trapped for a year for an organization that has multiple holes, most on defense. So, or you can sign him to a longer deal and largely manipulate the cap. And so, I think Dallas has two plays here. If you sign him to a long-term deal, the number comes down, you can manipulate it.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line, if you draft well, you're fine at $32 million with a quarterback. You really are. You got to hit your draft picks. But the Rams, by the way, pay a lot of stars a lot of money, but they've hit on almost every draft pick of note. So if the Cowboys trust their scouting department, then you sign Dak long-term. The biggest issue with this organization, and this $32 million would not be nearly as big a deal, but you're paying DeMarcus Lawrence, a solid player, huge money, and Amari Cooper, a good receiver, great money. So Dallas can worry about Dak, but the bigger issue here is you are overpaying multiple players, top five in the league, and they're probably top 20 players. So they're a little jammed up, and Dak's paying the price for it.
And you also prioritize signing your running back over the quarterback.
I never liked that. I didn't like it.
Pro Football Focus has Prescott ranked as the number one overall free agent.
Well,
if he hits the open market, he's going to have his choice of where he wants to go. So Sam Darnold's future in New York is uncertain.
I know.
And he probably won't have an answer anytime soon. The Jets have the second pick in the draft, as we know, and they will reportedly evaluate all the top quarterback prospects before making a decision. And those evaluations include the players' pro day workouts, individual interviews, and so it will likely be closer to the draft before the Jets know what they're going to do with Darnold.
Well, they were out of the playoffs by September 15th, so can't they look at that film? I mean, haven't they evaluated Darnold and Trevor Lawrence? Well, don't you have film on him?
I think they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, but I think they are maybe considering throwing that film out since Adam Gase was at the helm.
Okay, well, Justin Fields played his last game a month ago. You haven't sat down, and what are you guys doing?
I think they want to go through the interviews.
Oh, God, that's going to do it? Really, I'm going to sit down. I'm like, I hate his tape. You know, I found him charming. Watch his tape. Interview? What is that? I can fool anybody at an interview.
I don't know. I think it matters. I think if you're making a decision of this magnitude, there's no need to rush. Maybe you stick with Sam Darnold, and maybe it's time to move on.
Johnny Manziel was great in his interview. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Was he? I think they just wanted to go with Johnny
come
Manziel.
On, Jets. You have Darnold tape, Fields tape. What? I mean, I don't understand this. What game are you playing?
I think they're taking their time to evaluate the situation before they go into the draft, and maybe they're waiting for other offers.
Is BYU playing games from now until April? Is Ohio State got some more?
I don't know. They need more research. They need to see what their work ethic is, and what their personality
make
is.
Make four
their
calls.
Leaders in the locker room. I don't know.
Phones still
saying.
Work. Make calls.
Cam Newton is set to become a free agent and could be on the market and on his way out of New England. Although much was made about his relationship with Bill Belichick throughout last season, Cam has nothing but respect and admiration for Belichick.
I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of sports.
100%. 1,000%.
He dope as shit.
Yeah.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game.
Yeah.
And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game.
It's quite an endorsement from Cam Newton there.
That, I don't know what that interview was. I've seen 50 clips on that interview. It must have been a great podcast.
Yeah, it's I Am Athlete, Brandon Marshall podcast.
I got a lot of play. That's like the 15th story we've done on that podcast.
There were a lot of great. It's Brandon Marshall, Ocho Cinco. Yeah, it's a good interview, actually. But that's a great endorsement for Bill Belichick, who's taken a lot of L's over the past year.
Yeah,
he's not generally described as dope as bleep. But well, I get what he's saying. I think that Cam appreciates what Bill is as a coach, what his style is. He talked more about it and talked about like the Patriot way and what all that really means. And it's not really much different than what we've heard from everyone, but obviously this experience this year was very unique from the past 20 years where you've had Tom Brady. And he's basically saying, like, winning is the standard. Like, everything that you do there is about winning. It's not about your personality. It's not about your feelings.
You know what?
It's not about what you're going through. Like, at the end of the day, you got to do your job.
I'm probably as critical of Cam as anybody in the national media. The last year, I like Cam Newton more than I've ever liked. First of all, that bratty kid, I am out on. All these interview clips have been great. Certain people age better. I think Cam was immature entering the league. I think he's kind of coming to terms with his football mortality, like his football career. And I think he's starting to appreciate things that he probably had so much talent early, he didn't care about. Like, just give me the ball. I mean, that's his whole life. Junior college, high school, college, give me the ball. I mean, if you watch Cam at Auburn, he literally just... You couldn't stop him.
Yeah, he's always been the best athlete.
It was literally like he looked like Thanos or whatever these games are. And so I think Cam, as he's like becoming less of a player, unlike Big Ben, Cam's putting in the work and kind of appreciates. He's seeing himself and going, I want to end this with some dignity. And I like it. I really do.
I mean, sometimes it takes time to evolve and lean into different parts of the game that you haven't had to experience.
Yeah.
And there is no experience like the New England Patriot way.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
So I saw
news.
This story. The Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, said yesterday, I'm okay being known as a meathead. Okay, so it's one thing to be one. Don't take pride in it. Not good. I want to bring on somebody who played in the NFL at a high level for a long time, LeVar Arrington. I want to bring him on. We don't get many in-person guests anymore, so we feel honored here to have LeVar Arrington on our show. Let's bring in LeVar, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Pro Bowler, half the years he was in. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Let me get a fist now.
So I think it's the worst year I ever remember. I thought the candidates were great. I thought the hires were putrid. Nick Sirianni will not last 2 years. David Culley in Houston was desperate. And Dan Campbell acknowledges, I'm okay being a meathead. Be honest with me. Did you ever have a head coach or a position coach that, LeVar, you felt like going into the week you would be outcoached, that you felt you either had better instincts, you were smarter than, or you knew you didn't have an elite coach?
Oh, Colin. Here's what's interesting about that question is more often than not, and the answer is yes, all right? The quick answer is yes. But the reasoning behind it is that's more often than not. If you think about the parity of comparison and competition in college and pros, and you wonder why the same teams win over and over and over again, it's probably because they have a great coaching staff. So many times, and I have been held to the highest of highest accountability of being a player that was called uncoachable, undisciplined, a freelancer, didn't understand the game. If we took a Wonderlic test, guarantee you I'll score higher than all of them. Guaranteed. If we took an assessment of intelligence and intellect, guaranteed, I'll score higher. But more often than not, because the loyalties and the focus always seems to fall in on the players, really. I would rather say I'm riding with the coach, which is leadership, which is a direct connection to the team, and not hold them as accountable as the players, because players are generally more expendable. The next one on the list is the coach, but you're not going to throw coaches under the bus for being inept at being a great coach or not being a high-level, sophisticated person. It's interesting thinking about some of the position coaches. We talked about this off air.
So there's head coaches, coordinators, and position coaches. For the record,
sure,
most position coaches never even become coordinators. Forget head
some
coaches.
Some do. Some get that fast track, right? They get that what is it called? Cronyism. And they they get the, what is it when it's the family? What's the word for the family deal?
Nepotism.
There you go, Joy. I played for plenty of coaches. When I played for Marty, Marty's brother was on the on
Marty Schottenheimer.
God bless him and rest his soul. I love Marty. Kurt was the defensive coordinator. Brian was on the staff, right? Probably had grandkids and grandkids on the staff. Same with Joe Gibbs, right? Same with Coach Spurrier.
Same with Belichick now.
Same with Belichick. So these guys are bringing, same with Andy Reid. These guys bring in their people. And when I say their people, I mean their people. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're good at what they do. They just happen to be born of the right lineage to the right people, and that gives them the opportunity to make their way into the coaching ranks in that industry. So more often than not, the focal point isn't on those coaches, so you don't find yourself questioning their mental aptitude. So, yes, there are a lot of underqualified people that are coaching. And that's why you see the same coaches, Colin. You see the same coaches because you got to keep that close to the vest. If me and you are cool and we can put on the straight face and say, this is how you're supposed to do media, this is how it's supposed to look, and we keep it together and it never leaks out, then you can maintain that. Right. We can maintain that because we're on the same page.
Right.
But if you get people coming out saying, oh, the way Colin is doing, oh, look at the way LeVar is doing. Oh, Joy, what's Joy doing? Like, if people start calling it out, then you start to bring the focal point onto it. So what you're doing right now is you're probably having some people sitting in their office who have you on right now on their television screen. And they're like, why did you pick LeVar Arrington to be the one to talk about this topic? Because he doesn't care. He's unconscious about telling people's business. And I'm going to do it right here in studio and I enjoy doing it.
I've said this before. I think the greater point you said early, it was so random. I was thinking about this driving to work today, that in the history of Nick Saban in the SEC, I think there's two or three times he's met his equal. I thought Chris Peterson at Washington brought a marginally talented team to the Final Four and actually gave him a game with no players.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Peterson could coach. He retired.
Can coach.
Urban Meyer could coach. He retired. And Dabo Sweeney. Nick almost always. I mean, even Belichick has Sundays where you're like, oh, Andy Reid got him.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll got him. Like, to your point, it's the reason the same guys win every
year. It's the reason.
Okay, so let me ask you about this. It's about the fourth story on Russell Wilson that gets out today. It's pretty obvious he's unhappy.
Hmm.
And I made this argument. We celebrate a UFC boxing legend or star having an ego. He needs to. The shield.
The machismo.
We celebrate home run hitters. Reggie, mm-hmm. Sammy Sosa, Ramirez. It's almost adorable. Mm-hmm. We celebrate NBA stars. Russell Westbrook. My best friend's the ball. Kind of makes him more likable, right? Mm. Jordan just whacks everybody, 10-part documentary. We're like, I love Michael. He crushes everybody. Mm. But if an NFL quarterback's got a little ego and don't want to fit in a box.
It's toxic.
Russell Wilson, like, all he wants is a say. I mean, do you ever play with a – I mean, quarterbacks have a
– Oh, I played with quarterbacks. I mean, I played with Jeff George.
Oh, he had an ego.
He had an ego. You know, I play with quarterbacks and – You're supposed to be the father figure, the leader, the calming force. You're supposed to be the one that's different from everyone when you have the quarterback's position as your position. You are the anointed leader of the team.
I get it.
Does that make it right or wrong? You know, people made fun of Jim McMahon for being too animated and kind of like a Looney Tune in terms of the type of guy that he was personality-wise.
He fit that roster.
But we loved him.
Well, and he fit that roster.
We loved him. We loved him. What? There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. I mean, you see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I mean, and he's always been a fiery dude. You see him go head-to-head. Not just with a player.
Honey Badger.
He goes ahead with Honey Badger don't care, right? He goes head to head with Honey Badger. And we love it. I just think it's selective. We're selective of when we have moments in time where we don't want to see a quarterback conduct himself or say things a certain type of way. You're seeing it with Deshaun Watson and the fallout. Deshaun hasn't really said anything at all.
Aaron Rodgers. We got to draft
Jordan
Love.
We see it with Aaron Rodgers.
Everybody's trying to box in these stars quarterbacks, and I'm like, there's a difference between confidence and immaturity. Baker was immature. Johnny Manziel was immature. Okay. Jameis was a little immature.
Okay.
I'm okay with Russell Wilson, who's married to the most beautiful person on the planet, feeling good about himself.
Well, maybe second.
Again, you get a little. Yeah. I'm going to give you a little.
He's earned the right to have a voice. And he's earned the right where that voice shouldn't have to hit media for it to be heard.
Thank you. You worked hard today. How long is that show before us?
I think 2.5.
No script.
No script.
There's a lot of talking.
People think that this is easy, what we do.
It is ditch digging. This is outside of literally grabbing a shovel, it's America's hardest job.
You know, people will sit there and and shun what you just said.
I know.
But they do not realize how hard it is for you and Joy to do what it is that you guys do at the level you do it every single day.
There are days Joy and I walk out of here with a piano on our back.
Indeed.
The whole network we're carrying. I'm glad one guy gets it.
Indeed. Yeah. And you should make that known. You have earned the right to make your voice, let your voice be heard.
Maybe I should leak some stories.
I mean, you got the microphone.
LeVar Arrington, let's hear it for him. It's great seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Coming up next, there's going to be 3 to 4 busts in the first round. At least one quarterback will bust. I'll just throw my name out there. I'll give you the guy. I don't understand why everybody doesn't see it, and that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
When the weather's crappy outside, want to be able to see clearly, Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades. Walmart lasts 2 times longer. They repel bad weather. So sometimes in sports, you can say things, and they're always true, but when you say them, people bristle. Like 4 teams that made the playoffs last year in the NFL will not get in this year, and 4 new teams will get in. That's happened 3 decades in a row. But if I insinuate your playoff team won't make it, people freak out. There's going to be minimum 3 absolute busts in the first round of the NFL draft. Minimum. There have been years where there's 6 to 8. There will be at least one quarterback bust in the first round every year. Paxton Lynch, E.J. Manuel, Josh Rosen, Johnny Manziel, Dwayne Haskins, Brandon Whedon. One's going to be a bust. I do not understand the current momentum behind Mac Jones. There is no proof that Nick Saban develops NFL quarterbacks. Tua was the golden child. Tua, I was assured, was different. Tua, I was told, is one of the great all-time high school quarterbacks. The Miami Dolphins benched him twice last year, and three of his starts he completed under 100 yards passing. Also rumors they want Deshaun Watson. That tells you not only are they disappointed in the games Tua's played, they don't like what they see at practice. Mac Jones gets five things at Alabama he will not get in the NFL. He throws to wide open receivers. Look how often the receiver is wide open. He's behind an offensive line that rarely allows him to get even rushed. He always has an elite run game. He always plays with a lead. And because his coach is Nick Saban, he always goes into a better game with a better scheme, a better game plan, better in-game adjustments. That is not the way it works in the NFL. You're always rushed. Your receivers are rarely open. Good luck if you have a running game over two or three straight years. Eventually, the back wears down or wears himself out. You almost never have the best coach in the league. Playing with a lead? Give me a break. One quarterback's played with a lead the last 20 years, Brady. That's it. I mean, you're playing from behind all the time in the teeth of a pass rush. I saw Mike Tannenbaum, former GM, came out yesterday. He has Trevor Lawrence number one, Zach Wilson two, and Mac Jones number three. I can't discuss that. I don't even want to go there. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not anti-Mac Jones. But there's a reason these Alabama guys don't work in the NFL. Because you don't face a real world at Alabama. You always have a lead, and you always have a great run game. And your receiver, look at all these videos I'm showing you. Everybody's wide open by 15 yards. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get that open in the NFL. Randy Moss wasn't that open in the NFL. Calvin Johnson wasn't that open in the NFL. Every Alabama wide receiver is wide open. You have the better coach, the lead, the better O-line. You never get rushed. There's a reason where most star quarterbacks in the NFL didn't go to great football powers. Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio. Aaron Rodgers, Cal. Phillip Rivers, NC State. Russell Wilson, NC State, benched, had to transfer. He had to go to Wisconsin because the coach didn't like him. Tom Brady didn't start at Michigan. There's a reason why Matt Ryan, Boston College. Dak Prescott, Mississippi State. There's a reason most NFL quarterbacks don't come from traditional powers, because you get really comfortable at traditional powers. It's not an NFL life. It's why trust fund kids have a lot of issues. They grow up with BMWs and horses and polo and country clubs. That's not the real world. And when they get a little strain, chaos, or pushback in their life, they don't know what to do. Do you know 92% of millionaires in America are from middle-class families or below? Why? Because they've had to fight for the last piece of food at dinner. They're like kids who have to deal with like life stuff, like getting yelled at and getting grounded and not having lunch money. And they're like 92% used to. Now, maybe because of tech, it's changed. Most millionaires come from humble beginnings because they're ready for the struggle. There's a reason the NFL isn't just filled with Alabama and Ohio State quarterbacks. That's not a real life. Mac Jones is, yesterday I saw where Devontae Smith, the star receiver, chose Mac Jones over Tua. People were tanking for Tua. That was a term. You know there's going to be a bust in this first round, right, at quarterback. You know this to be true. I don't get it. I have heard Charlie Weiss and Mike Tannenbaum and Devontae Smith, and this guy is great. Athletically, he is a 1978 quarterback. He was a three-star athlete. His arm is good, not special. Where's the it? I mean, God, folks, anybody that's quarterbacking now. Nick Saban mostly has recruited quarterbacks that don't get in the way of his defense and coaching. My buddy Jim McElwain, who I lived next to in college, told me, Nick said, listen, just don't lose games for us. Lane Kiffin will tell you that. Don't get too clever. Don't lose games for us. Coaching and defense will win the SEC. I don't know. I don't see it. All right, you Baker Mayfield fans, you thought you hated me before the next segment. Mayfield or the field? I know, Joy. Next.